Okay. Those who are able, if you would like to stand during our reading, continuing with going forward, and we're all ready to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. You shall not see your countryman's ox or his sheep straying away and pay no attention to them, and you shall certainly bring them back to your countrymen. And if your countryman is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall remain with you until your countryman looks for it. Then you shall restore it to him. And thus you shall do with his donkey, and you shall do the same with his garment. And you shall do likewise with anything lost by your countryman, which he has lost and you have found. You are not allowed to neglect them. You shall not see your countryman's donkey or his ox fallen down on the way and pay no attention to them. You shall certainly help him to raise them up. A woman shall not wear a man's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's clothing, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. If you happen to come upon a bird's nest along the way in any tree or on the ground with young ones or eggs, and the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall certainly let the mother go. But the young you may take for yourself in order that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days. When you build a new house, you shall make a parapet for your roof that you may not bring blood guilt on your house if anyone falls from it. You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest all the produce of the seed which you have sown and the increase of the vineyard become defiled. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a material mixed of wool and linen together. You shall make yourself tassels on the four corners of your garment with which you cover yourself. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and then turns against her, and charges her with shameful deeds, and publicly defames her, and says, I took this woman, but when I came near her, I did not find her a virgin, then the girl's father and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of the girl's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. And the girl's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man for a wife, but he turned against her, and behold, he has charged her with shameful deeds, saying, I did not find your daughter a virgin. But this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the garment before the elders of the city. So the elders of that city shall take the man and chastise him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give it to the girl's father, because he publicly defamed a virgin of Israel. And she shall remain his wife. He cannot divorce her all his days. But if this charge is true, that the girl was not found a virgin, then they shall bring out the girl to the doorway of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death, because she has committed an act of folly in Israel by playing the harlot in her father's house. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. If a man is found lying with a married woman, then both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman. Thus you shall purge the evil from Israel. If there is a girl who is a virgin engaged to a man, and another man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death, the girl because she did not cry out in the city, and the man because he has violated his neighbor's wife. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. But if in the field the man finds the girl who is engaged, and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lies with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the girl. There is no sin in the girl worthy of death. For just as a man rises against his neighbor and murders him, so is this case. When he found her in the field, the engaged girl cried out, but there was no one to save her. If a man finds a girl who is a virgin, who is not engaged, and seizes her and lies with her, and they are discovered, then the man who lay with her shall give to the girl's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall become his wife, because he has violated her. He cannot divorce her all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, so that he shall not uncover his father's skirt. Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Deuteronomy 22:12. You shall make yourself tassels on the four corners of your garment with which you cover yourself. this morning in the midst of this chapter, which deals with many of those elements of civil living in the promised land, is this simple yet oh so powerful command. To us today, there seems very little about this that would make it significant or of any value. The idea of returning found property or taking care of animals and the like still holds some value to us. Also, the entire specifications of the dealings of men and women in treating one another with respect and not putting one or the other in peril through selfish and lustful dealings rings ever more dearly true in our hearts. We find this to be needed encouragement with all that the falsehood that our modern society puts forth. This age is so lacking in many elements of moral compasses that would serve to make one look out for others rather than just doing what is deemed necessary to meet human cravings. There is not much other than the Word of God to steer us into the proper relationships which honor God and honor others. The severe biblical penalties no longer hold practice with us, but the heart of the matter and the respect that we are to show to God and to one another do matter tremendously, or at least should, to those who love the Lord. However, this simple statement of the tassels is just something that we can read over and then disregard as merely a fashion statement of that day. That is, at least, until we take the time to investigate it a little more thoroughly before the Lord. There is actually a vital reality that's tied up with the whole aspect of these tassels attached to the daily clothing of the people. What we will consider should trigger our thoughts and our hearts and our minds before the awesome splendor of the Lord God Almighty. Before we go any further, I am not at all advocating that we need to start tying tassels to our garments. But there is a tremendous facet at the heart of this practice that we should take before the Lord to have Him deal with us and with our consideration of Him each and every day of our walk on this earth. That was the point of the tassels, after all. Each morning, as the members of the children of Israel prepared for the day, they would dress themselves with those clothes to which these tassels were attached. Most were crudely simple ornamentation worn day after day. Others were special tassels for those times of great festivals and celebrations and the coming together for worship and the sacrifices and all those gatherings of religious importance. However, whether it was for the special day of celebration or for the everyday wearing in the fields and in dealing with the necessary work of life, they were supposed to wear these tassels to remind them to honor the Lord and all of His commandments. These tassels were to be a constant memorial that would keep their hearts and their minds focused on the Lord and His holiness, and His power, and His grace, and His mercy, and His sanctity in their lives. We find that this was specifically detailed for us earlier in our reading of the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 38 through 41. Please turn back to it and read it along with me. Numbers, chapter 15. Verses 38 through 41. Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue, and it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord so as to do them, and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, in order that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Notice, the point of these tassels was to keep their hearts focused on the Lord, because their eyes would see these tassels and their minds would make the appropriate association with the laws of God. The Lord was very serious that they should have some visible means of bringing to mind to whom they belonged. They had so often forgotten who He was and who they were in the whole of His plan and His purposes. They had allowed themselves so frequently to be distracted from following the Lord. They had set their eyes and their hearts and their minds on all the diversions that were polluting the nations surrounding them. As a direct result, the Lord made a provision, as He so often is kind enough and generous enough and willing to do for His people. If they would keep the tassels on their garments, they would have that physical representation upon which to focus their eyes in order to not be distracted from the holiness of the Lord God, their Savior. The tassels were to be the commemorative objects by which the people would be reminded to hold true to the Lord. They could never use the excuse that they did not know that the law of God was to be held in their hearts. The proof that they knew was hanging on their clothes each and every day of their lives. They only had to see the tassels to know that they were to honor God and His righteous law with all their heart and mind and being. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you played the harlot, in order that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. The heart of the matter was that the children of Israel, as are we, tended to easily forget their relationship with the Lord when all was going well for them. That is why the Lord was so specific in His warning as to the purpose of these tassels. His chosen people had frequently turned away from the Lord and sought after the lust of their eyes in view of what the other nations had that they did not. They were even to the point of the utter defilement of the holy place of God with the whole incident of Baal Peor. Please recall that absolute sacrilege that led to the plague of the last deaths of that first generation. With these bits and pieces tied to their garments, they would be face to face with the truth of God each time they put on or took off their clothing. That would be a vital article of judgment against them if they proceeded with any act of unholiness, ungodliness, or impurity. Not only were the tassels on their own articles of clothing, but they were attached to the ornate clothing of the priests in their regular ministry before the Lord and the people. They were on full display in the most official manner possible as a witness for the Lord whenever the people gathered together in the fellowship of His name. Please turn to Exodus 39:22-26. Here we see how the Lord made it very, very evident so that the people could see with their own eyes and understand with their minds and with their souls the fact that He was always going before them. Accordingly, they were to be in constant obedience and reverence to his law and his holiness. Exodus 39:22-26. Then he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue, and the opening of the robe was at the top in the center, as the opening of a coat of mail, with a binding all around its opening, that it might not be torn. And they made pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material, and twisted linen on the hem of the robe. They also made bells of pure gold, and put the bells between the pomegranates, all around on the hem of the robe, alternating a bell and a pomegranate all around on the hem of the robe for the service, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The tassels of the priestly garments were much more ornate and defined as the shape of pomegranates. However, they, along with the bells, still represented the truth that the nation as a whole and all the individuals within the nation were under the direct hand of God in all their activities and their demeanor. These ornate tassels and bells were constant reminders that the people's eyes and ears were to be focused on the way in which their behavior would honor and satisfy the Lord and not their own lusts and cravings. The Lord made this so very specific in spelling out that which would serve to honor him in Deuteronomy 6:1-12. Please turn to that passage. And as we read it together, I am so thankful to the Lord and to you that the details about the teaching of the children is of profound and earnest concern and practice within this fellowship. This is evidenced in the biblical responses of our children year in and year out. Deuteronomy 6:1-12. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and be satisfied. Then watch yourself, lest you forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Notice that the Lord once more made a provision for the people to have a very visible means of holding true to him. He knew their wandering minds and hearts would steal away his glory and his relationship with his people. Therefore, he told them to write down the fact that the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. They were to sear this reality into their minds and into their hearts and live this truth as the core, central focus of their homes and their households. They were to teach their children generation to generation to generation all that the Lord had done for them. He was to be the focus of their everything. The children would undoubtedly ask about the tassels on their garments and the frontals on their foreheads and the writings on the doorposts. There would be that curiosity to know what it was all about. This would be the tremendous opportunity for the parents and the grandparents to talk about the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the provision and the love of the Lord which had seen His people through. They could recount the miraculous release from their slavery in Egypt, their slavery to sin, their salvation at the parting of the Red Sea, as well as the 40 years of God's provision and care in the wilderness with all the manna and the quail and the water from the rocks. This would be the opportunity to declare how the Lord had gone before them into battle and conquered peoples greater and mightier than themselves. They could declare how they were now in the promised land of God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They could give praise to God for the cities that they did not build, the land flowing with milk and honey, the vineyards and the orchards and the wells flowing with all the goodness of the Lord. All of this could be brought before the children as they explained the tassels and the frontals and the writing at the front of the house and the gates, which all declare the fact that the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. However, as is often so true with mankind, the people forgot the point behind the tassels that they were wearing. Rather than concentrating on the fact that the holiness of God and obedience to His law was at the heart of why they were being worn, the tassels and the frontals themselves became the focus. The tassels were made more ornate and longer and more elegant as the means of showing the religious status of the wearer. The longer and showier meant the more spiritually religious that person was to be considered. The tassels and the frontals became a means of the measurement of spirituality in a most worldly sense, rather than the emblem of the greatness and the holiness and the splendor and the majesty of God. Christ spoke to this whole human perversion of that which the Lord had so graciously given as the means of being honoring and pleasing to Him. This is recorded in Matthew 23, 1 through 8. Please turn to it as we conclude this morning. Matthew 23, 1 through 8. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to His disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments, and they love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called by men rabbi. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. The whole core of what Jesus taught was the truth that the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. He had no interest in the length of the tassels or the decorativeness of the articles. It was the heart of the relationship which was his focus. He directs our attention to the whole reason that the Lord made such a gracious and merciful command to wear these items. Keeping our eyes on Christ each day, each moment of each day, is now our means of holding our eyes and our hearts and our minds on that which is of truest importance. We will be completely reverent and honoring to the holiness and the glory of the Lord God Almighty in being, in seeing Christ each moment of each day. We will be fully focused and attentive and careful to be in complete and utter obedience to the Lord our God. So be it. You shall make yourself tassels on the four corners of your garment with which you cover yourself. Amen.